And they tear away, choose not to be able to move.
Have been upset. Have you said?
Right, good evening everyone, good evening. A lot of times it comes to dinner and some people are tempted to have one of these dinners. Really, ideally, a person should try and get into the healthy habit, you know, getting things which are good. But sometimes you get stuck and you want to have some crackers and you want to have some egg. You go to the shop and buy a tub of egg, tuna, and you buy some of these crackers. Oil and oil goes together. And you somehow, it does the trick. It does the trick for the next few hours. The question is, what brachas do you make if your intention is to put inside your body some crackers, but also you want some other nutrients. You want to have some protein, like the tuna. You want the egg to go inside. You want some tuna inside. You don't want to just have some of these carbs. You want to also have the protein. So your intention is to have both. And a lot of times, some people can mistakenly think that you take the mazonis, and we do know that mazonis is very powerful. Once you have a bit of mazonis inside your food, everything becomes mazonis. You have a bowl of cereal sometimes, where you got a mixture of Frosties, and you have a little bit of Shreddies. The whole thing becomes mazonis. Doesn't necessarily mean you make ala michya, because you might not have a kazayis of the ala michya, kedei achilas pras. But certainly, regarding bracha rishona, it will affect it. And if you have a kazayis of the ala michya, you'd make just the ala michya. So it's very powerful. However, there's a big difference between crackers and when you have crackers and egg together, and all the other shaddas that we discuss. When you discuss a mixture, when it's really mixed together, like a bowl of cereal, salad, okay, you're not going to have, typically you're not going to have mazonis inside. When you have a mixture, and it's inside your mixture, has got mazonis, then mazonis are very powerful. Once it's not a mixture, it's just one on top of the other, it's layers. You have one cracker, and on top of it, you've got a layer of egg, herring. That is a different level. It's not considered a mixture. It's now got different halachas. You will typically end up having to make two brachas. Yes, there's a scenario that you make one bracha. The typical case of one bracha, mazonis, is when it's a real small slither. Sometimes you put some jam. Jam doesn't go so well on this one. But just imagine, or even chocolate spread. The idea is when it's a very small amount and it's clear that it's a tofel, it's subordinate, it's completely meshubbed to the mazonis, then you can go ahead and make just one mazonis. Or if a person has a very minute left of just a small amount of egg or tuna, there's a little bit left in the tin. You might want it, but a ma'isa is only enough. Doch, you want to have four. How many of these do you need to have to make a ala mechia? It's four. It's at least four. Berach four. Five for sure. But even four, you can make ala mechia. It's not too much, and it's not a lot at all. But certainly. If you've only got a little bit of egg left, then you can get away with only making one bracha. But we're talking about a regular case where a person's, he wants to get through a half a tub of egg, half a tub of tuna. The halacha is really, he should have to make two brachas, and really two bracha achronas as well. The idea is, because it's not a mixture anymore, it's one on top of the other. And when you want intentionally both, you have to make both brachas. So really, you make a mazonis first on the crackers, and then afterwards, I guess you make a separate shahakal on the egg. If you haven't got anything on you, right, and you haven't got any spoons or anything like that, you can use the cracker as your spoon to make a shahakal. But ideally you want to make shahakal just on the egg, and then carry on, and then afterwards have it together. So again, we're talking about a person for dinner who wants to have one of these crackers, or any type of crackers, right, together with tuna or egg. He wants to get through both the crackers and also some protein. He wants to have the protein as well. Herring, egg, tuna, whatever it is. He wants to have it on it. So the most typical case, when your intention is to have both, you will typically make two brachas rishonis, not only mazonis, and also two bracha achronis. Again, not to be mixed up when you have a mixture. When you have a mixture together, you have mixtures, that's a different story. A mixture, this is not called a mixture, this is called one on top of the other. It's like a nice shidduch. You make a nice shidduch, you put one on top of the other. It's not considered a salad. It's not like a salad style.
Tuna sandwich.
A tuna sandwich... If you have a sandwich... very good. He's asking very good. If you make hamotzi on mazonos bread, which is l'chori the best is, fine, then you won't have a shayla. But you're saying if you make a mazonos on tuna bread, this is very interesting, because it's got another loaf on top of it, it's very, and it's bottled, it's not the same as the crackers, that already you can see we're talking about such fine detail over here. L'chori, when it comes to mazonos mazonis sliced bread, you get the triangle ones, that l'chori should just be mazonis, because there's, even though there's quite a lot in the middle, but you're still covered with both sides, it's literally covered, it's sandwiched up. Here, if it's doubled over and the middle side is only a little bit,
double burger in a bun.
No, I'm asking, if you got a burger, a proper burger, a burger with a solid thing inside, that could be, and you're making a mezonos on the outside, that could be, you should make two brachas, shahakal as well. Because you can't cover up and say, you can't hide behind the fact that you want the shahakal as well. If you want the shahakal as well, specifically, not as just a added thing, you know, a small slither. If you take one of these crackers and put a little bit of chocolate spread on it, for sure only one brocha, for sure only mazonis. And even, that's not the case. Over here, we're talking about the intention is that you want a lot of protein. You want to have for dinner, to keep it going, it's very, very important to have protein for the next 2-3 hours. So tuna, egg, these sort of things keeps you going. That's a very important thing. So these two together, then you'd have to make two brachas. It's a very choshava nekuda. A lot of times you can go through dinners and you can just be making your mazonos. And in this case, it's very important to know that you've got to make two brachas and two bracha achronis as well. Shrama in a lafa bread. Yeah. The truth is, this already touches onto a different shayla. And that is, once you're already having a big amount, there's no real heter to have this whole packet for dinner without making a brocha. I think health-wise, also not real heter. But I'm talking about benching-wise, there's no real heter to make a mazonis and aramichya on such an amount. Once you're already having 16, 17 of them, that already steps into the shayla of hazon, and that should really require a person to wash. So that's already a person should try and minimize as much as he can. 15, you try and have that sort of amount. Then he's minimized it, not just go through one after the next, because you've got serious shaylas of brocha achrona being hazonas ha'ilam. So really, when it comes to the lafa shaylas and the burgers, it's very uncomfortable shayla to talk about. Because really, if a person's having it for a supper, it's very mistabat that you should really have to wash for that. So that's already touches into a different sugya about the mazonis bread. Even those who hold mazonis bread as mazonis bread, obviously it's only with a shear. It's only with a shear of up to... you know, kvir suda, which, you know, that's a whole shear, exactly how that works. But the point I'm just trying to make is that it's very common that people have this for dinner, I've seen it, and when it comes to bracha rishonis, bracha achronis, the bit stuck on it, it's very important to know that you make two brachas, in this case you make two brachas. So really, very good, you're asking good, when it comes to a cheesecake, and you have a base which is mazonos, and the topping, let's say 90% is shahakal, a lot of poskim can actually hold that you'd make two brachas there as well. Now, in fact, the interesting thing is that Shevet Halevi's got a shuvah to say that if the overwhelming majority is shahakal, then you only make a shahakal, because the base is just being used as a holder. You have three stages, that's why it is complicated. You have a situation where it's just a holder. Sometimes, I don't find it so common. Maybe you do find it, depends which cakes are not so popular, to have just a little, very thin layer at the bottom. It could be negev to cheesecake. Then, if the overwhelming majority is shahakal, and the bottom layer is just to give it some sort of tzura, then the mazonis will lose itself. Even mazonis will lose its bracha, because it's just nothing. It's a real nothing. Once you have something which is something, but you have also a lot of egg as well, then two brachas. The same would go with the cheesecake. If you have half, you have a base of a half cake and a half of cheese. The chayyur should have to make two brachas, unless it's baked together. If it's baked together, Mishabru's got a shita that it becomes one. It becomes like your salad. It becomes like a whole mixture, although it's not mixed. Then you only make mazonis. Yeah. That's that. Then you go back to the mazonis. Again, the most powerful halacha of mazonis tells you that when you have a mixture, everything is mazonis, if it's got a bit of mazonis in. But when it's got layers, then you have to work out what your intention is. So the second stage is when you want both, then you'll make two brachas. So... All I'm just trying to point out is that when it comes to dinners, a lot of times you can end up making two brachas of shenas and two brachas of achrenas. That's what's the negeh to over here. Also to remember not to step into the shayla of Hazon, because that already is already more of a serious shayla, that's already another nekuda. Next nekuda is just I was by a simcha Friday night, whatever, not it's some time, and one of the children had a shayla. They're very good. One of the children are very good at whistling, and the shayla is: are they allowed to? They had a whole debate in the children table, you know, after they've run out of things to do, you know, they've already pulled the salt and the coke, and they've done all the halachas of what children do by bar mitzvahs. So the question is, they want to know, can they whistle? One of them was very good at whistling with his mouth, with his two fingers. He can put two fingers in his mouth and make a whistle which is crazy, which everyone will regret coming to. It's a very powerful whistle. He knows how to do it with his mouth. His mouth is positioning of his fingers, and he can make a real, real loud noise. On Friday night, that was the shayla. Can you fault him for whistling on Shabbos Kodesh, after someone gives a good drosha, someone gives a good... The Olam are clapping, so he wants to give a whistle, and that's how he gets his attention. Instead of being sent out the classroom, then he gets an outlet on the Friday night bar mitzvah. What would you say on Shabbos?
Same Shabbos
whistling. Very good. Well, can you whistle? Can you whistle? And we were brought up. So, well, on Shabbos, is there anything now? Don't forget, he would also want to whistle to the rhythm. Is there any heter to whistle to the rhythm? How does it work in halacha? We were always brought up back in Stamford Hill, all the Rebbes, the Choshev Rebbes, those are the basics. Anyone who whistles gets sent out of the classroom. No? I mean, that was the basics. Because the whistling is a goyish azach. Taka the chazanish brought down. They brought down the chazanish taka that held. Is a musig of a piritza. It's a piritza to the gazach. But you should know, at the end of the day, the Ramah speaks. I remember showing this to one of my Rebbes, that Ramah says that you're allowed to mutter la'odom letzafsif bepiv. A person is allowed to whistle with his mouth lechaveroi on Shabbos Kodesh. So Ramah is showing you how to wiggle out the Ramah. He didn't know that Chaznish also mentions this pritzah sticker thing, but it's not like an official halacha. It's just something which became a shtickle pritzah, so I guess it has some weight. But the strict halacha is, your starting point is that the Ramah says you're allowed to be mitzavtif. But the Ramah is only talking about with your mouth, with your with your tongue. But to actually put your fingers in your mouth, that Orcha Shulchan also allows. And even if you're doing it to the rhythm, it's a very interesting thing, that when it comes to doing it to the rhythm, it's a whole different level. Bashing on the table to the rhythm on Shabbos, when you want to do Menucha V'Simcha, that is something which, strictly speaking, from Mishnah Berurah Garet, is something which is also to do on Shabbos. Now, that includes Lecha Doidi, when it comes to Bei V'Shalom, the Olam singing. Now, some shuls, Shabbos doesn't even come in until the Olam are clapping, right? It doesn't work. You can't have a Lecha Doidi without clapping. And Taka the Tshuva Minchas, Elazar speaks about it, the Munkach, he's very busy to explain why it's okay, Letzorech Mitzvah, he put things together. Tosfos holds nowadays there's no chashash. Again, the chashash of music and playing to the rhythm is a chashash. He might come to play on an instrument, and might come to fix it. Tosfos says nowadays people don't really know how to fix it. You try and fix a Yamaha keyboard, it's very difficult to work out. So it's very tricky. You have to go to a mumcha. So Tosfos says, if it doesn't apply, there's a few things to put together. End of the day, Mishnah Berurah doesn't allow bashing to banging or clapping to a beat. That's why you'll find with the shinoi is okay. Some people clap with the shinoi, that's fine. But clapping like this on Shabbos, Lecha Doidi, not Lecha Doidi, by Vishalim, so that you'll see, for some people, it's like their breath and air, they couldn't go through Shabbos without clapping. So clapping normally, according to the Mishnah Berurah, Hare is there also. You can't do it, you're starting Shabbos on the wrong foot, or the wrong hand. So you're definitely starting on the wrong foot. Yeah. So the Maisan Mechaz Lozah explains why you find a lot of places, they really are meikel, and that's based on that. But to the rhythm is a whole different level. If it's not to the rhythm, then you have to just make sure it's not meyuchad lekach. You know, it's designated keli. You know, you find on some front doors, that you have one of these door knockers. You know, one of these round things. They're powerful. You give it one little knock, you can hear it from upstairs. They're very powerful things. They're very, very useful, and it gives it a bang. You know, you give it a little bang, and you can hear it from the whole. The olim know that you're by the front door. The Ramah says mefurush, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's a keli which is meyuchad to make a coil. A keli which is meyuchad, designated to make a noise, you can't use it even if it's not to the rhythm. So it's a very interesting thing. If it's to the rhythm, then even without a keli is a problem. Even bashing, really strictly speaking, is okay, unless you come into other kulas. But really, ideally is Friday night, Mishnah Berurah will tell you that if you want to clap to Menucha V'Simcha, the best is to do that. That's what Mishnah Berurah tells you. Chassidim, you'll find Chassidim, there are kehillas which are mekel, which will be mekel, to do like that, that's yesh v'yesh. That is to the rhythm. If it's not to the rhythm, then you can make a noise, as long as there's not a keli which is miyuchad lekach. So someone asked me, in that same bar mitzvah, someone asked me a very interesting shayla. The next shtick that the boys do is that you take a glass and you wet it a little bit, and then you go around with your finger, and it makes a funny noise in the hall. They say that one of the Aperion has got the best sound. Out of all the one of the Bochum tested that out. That says, you know, you can go like this, it sounds very, very good. And the Baldashin is trying to get some Dvar Torah out of his mouth, and you can hear all these noises going on, and no one can pin them down, who's making this noise? And there's one little boy going like this with his cup. The Shaila is, can you do that on Shabbos? So interestingly enough, you can, because even though you're making a noise, but it's not to the rhythm, and believe it or not, the kois, the glass is not miyuchad, is not designated to make noise. Maybe by the boys' table it is, but certainly when it comes to a regular kois, it's not miyuchad lekach, and that's certainly okay. So both things were okay. To whistle like that, meikadin, again, mishum pritzos, that's his own decision how he wants to deal with that. That's meikadin okay. And mitzad, the glass, that's also mafurish okay. You just have to avoid one of two things. Either if it's a keli miyuchad lekach, which includes one of these door knockers, tak a big problem. Or if it's not, even if it's not, but if it's to the beat, ideally Mishabro tells you to avoid, do it with a shinoi, that would be the way forward. Shkach, shkach, shkach. Can I use